Tonight, if I could, I'd like to go further and look at another picture. We're just trying to examine ourselves tonight. We're not trying to examine the person beside us, person behind us, or the people that is not here tonight. We're just looking at ourselves and trying to see if we are rightly related with the Redeemer. Tonight we want to look at the Master and His relationship with the servants. Him being the Master, us being the servants. The little word Master that is used many times in the Scripture has the idea of one who is superior in authority. One who is the boss. The one who is the controller of all things. The little word servant that is used in the Bible, for the most part, is the word bond slave. Bond slave. It is one who has been a servant, and it's come time to free him. He's set free, only to come back and tell the master, he said, you've been such a good master to me. He said, I don't just want to be a slave now, but he said, I want to be a willing slave. And of course, they would drive an awl through his ear, and it would be told to all that was around him that his master just didn't own him anymore, but he had willingly committed himself to the master. Of course, a willing servant tonight, he is one who has no choices. He's leaving all of his choices to God. You'll never hear a slave talking about his free will. He's long since given it up. Now, you'll find no slave tonight with an accountability partner. Oh no, he's a slave without chains. The master don't have to come by and check on him. He knows what he's up to. The one who is a bond slave tonight has no possessions. All that he has is owned by the master. He's not obligated for its upkeep nor its outcome. One that is a true servant tonight, he has no freedoms, he has no will, he has no choices. He's just rightly related to the master. As we begin to study this little thought of the master and servant, I would remind you that it is a thread that is threaded throughout the Scriptures. We want to begin tonight in Genesis chapter 24. And I want to bring to our attention, first of all, the law of first mention. The law of first mention. This is the first time a master and servant relationship is mentioned. Of course, if you go back and you get a glimpse of the first mention, you'll usually help you with being rightly related to the Master. I notice in Genesis chapter 24, this is the text where Abraham sends his servant to get Isaac a wife. I want us to see in this text, this law first mentioned, I want us to see that this true servant has an obsession with the Master. He's eat up with the Master. It's all about the Master. You've got your Bible there in Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master. Verse number 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. Again in verse number 14, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. She shall say, drink, and I will give camels to drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thine servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Verse number 27, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercies and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Again in verse number 34, he said, and I am Abraham's servant. And then again in verse 35, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And again in verse 36, and Sarah, my master's wife, bear a son to my master when she was old. Again in verse 39, and I said unto my master. Again in verse 42, and I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. Again in verse number 48, I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me into the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Again in verse 49, now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master. Again in verse 51, behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go her and let her be thy gracious. He's done been talking about the master so long, he's got them calling Abraham the master. He's done got others eat up with the master. He said in verse number 54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up the next morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. Seems like to me he's obsessed with the master. He's just eat slap up with the master. See, a true servant of God tonight, he has no own way of himself. He has no own will of himself. He will never mention his way, his will, his needs. Oh no, he's always concerned with the master tonight. I was wondering, not being nosy. God forbid that I'd ever be nosy. I was wondering tonight, just stopping right there and going no further. Would you say tonight you're a servant? You eat slap up with the master. You're obsessed with the master. You have forgotten yourself, and it's all about the master. That is the law of first mention of the master and his relationship with the servant. But not only do I see there's an obsession with the master, but I see there's a oneness of the master. If you're obsessed with the master, you'll see a oneness of the master. As they come back on into the home place, bringing Rebekah back to Isaac, the Bible says in Genesis 24 and verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? She saw Isaac coming, sitting there meditating as they were coming in, and she said, who is this man? I am extremely interested in what the servant said unto her, if you've got the Bible. He said unto her, it is my master. Time out! Hold on! He doesn't call Abraham his master. Now he's calling Isaac his master. He can't tell the difference in the father and the son. He gets them confused. He thinks they're one and the same. Oh, I tell you, it'll be the same with you and I tonight. If we're true servants, we'll be eat up with the father. We'll be eat up with the son. And there'll be none of us tonight. If we're rightly related with the Master. See, this thing's bigger tonight than the Romans Road, the German Road, the French Road, making some kind of profession, saying some kind of silly prayer, getting dunked in some kind of baptismal pool. Oh, no, this thing's bigger than that. If you're going to be rightly related with the Redeemer, it is a Master, His relationship with the servant. You've got your Bible there tonight. We're going further now. We're just studying. This thing's threaded throughout the Bible. I won't be able to do justice to it all, but I am going to try to hit some high points. If you've got your Bible there, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. I want us to look not only at the law of first mention. What are we doing now? Are you with me? You ain't left yet, have you? I am very confident that you can leave and stay all at the same time. We're examining ourselves now. Am I rightly related to the Master? Am I a true servant tonight? Huh? We throw that word around a lot. Oh, I tell you, I'm serving the Lord. Oh, I tell you, this thing ain't nothing about preaching. That ain't serving God. Singing, coming to church, singing in the choir. It's the least you could do. Least you could do. Oh, no, this thing's bigger than that. Being rightly related to the Master. I see in Luke chapter number 9, not only is there the law of first mention, but there is the lessons of faithful mention. The lesson of faithful mention. In Luke chapter number 9, I have always been alarmed and I've always felt that, I don't know, God was a little hard on people. I don't know, when I read these stories, I just wonder, man, he's too tough. He had an old boy come to him one time and said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be your servant. But he said, I want to go and bury my daddy. And he said, then I'll come back here and fall in line with you. Jesus told him, he said, let the dead bury the dead. Come follow me. Gracious man, I thought, gracious, Jesus won't even let you bury your dead family. And then another one come along. He said, I want to be your servant. I want to follow you. He said, but I need to go home and tell my family bye. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow, he said, you look back. He said, you ain't fit, come follow me. I said, man, God don't even want you to go home and tell your loved one bye. Grace, he's too hard for me. I don't know if I'd want to be his servant or not. It's too taxing. But I got to reading this text. We're talking about lessons now of a faithful mission. I notice in Luke chapter number 9, in verse number 59, there is a lesson here about a me-first mentality. Jesus is not against you burying your dead. He's not against you telling your loved one bye. What's the text? Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God ain't against you burying your dead. He ain't against you saying bye to your loved ones. But I tell you, He hates with a passion tonight a me-first mentality. I'm going to take care of me! I'm going to stay home a night or two and rest! It's all about me! He said, you can't follow me, you can't be my servant, you can't be rightly related to the Master if it's all about you tonight. Are you listening to me? Oh, a me-first mentality. There's some lessons here tonight. I tell you, we're living in a day and age. Gracious, one person at the house gets sick and five will stay home to watch them. Huh? Oh, Lord God, bring them kids on if they're a little sick, toughen them up. Huh? Well, them babied them now. Gracious, what in the world are they going to do? And they got a job and they got to go to. What are they going to do? Call their boss and tell them they got a little temperature. They're sucking their thumb till it gets better. Huh? I'm sure he's going to tell them he understands. Huh? It is a me first mentality that we're living in. God said you can't be my servants tonight if it's a me first mentality. But I see not only their lessons of faithful mention, about a me first mentality, but I notice that there are lessons here about a master focused mentality. What is to be gained tonight if I do not consider me first? What is to be gained tonight if I never, ever consider me? You got your Bibles there. We're just studying this master-servant theme through the Bible. I'm enjoying it. I don't know if you are or not. John's Gospel, chapter number 2. John, what is to be gained, preacher, if I just decrease, put myself out of the way and don't ever consider me? What's to be gained by that? We're talking about a master-focused mentality. I tell you, if you do not consider yourself, it is never, ever about you. You can rest assured of one thing. The Master will always make it about you. If you don't consider you never ever consider yourself, you can rest assured the Master will always have you at the top of the list. Are you listening to me tonight? Huh? I'd rather have Him considering me than me considering me. Huh? I tell you, He can do some things about me that me can't do for me. Huh? I see here in John chapter 2, this is that great story about the marriage feast at Cana in Galilee. In verse number 4, she had come, his mother, and said they needed some wine. They's out of it. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not come. Verse 5, And his mother saith unto the servants, there's that master-servant deal. It just keeps coming up, you know. She said, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. That little phrase, do it there. Don't ask no questions. Even if he asks you to do something you don't understand, the little phrase, do it, says don't consider your own feelings, thoughts, or ideas. Just do it. You say, what's to be gained if I was to do that? Well, you know the story. He told them to get some water pots and fill them up out of the well. The Bible tells us in verse number 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. I am extremely interested. I hope you brought your Bibles. Hard to study the Bible if you ain't got a Bible with you. In parentheses right there. He said, but the servants which drew the water knew. They knowed about this water to wine stuff. Said they understood where it come from. Watch the text. It says in verse number 8, And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. I'm extremely interested in that little word, draw. I'm asking you tonight, what is to be gained tonight if I never consider myself? The little word draw there, he's got these barrels now full of water. The little word there is not to get some in a pitcher out of those barrels. The little word draw here is the same word that is used in John chapter number 4 where it said the woman at the well drew water from the well. The little word draw here is the little word for rope in a bucket. Where'd they get this water they took to the governor? They got that out of the well. They got it from where? They got it from the well. What's the... He's done turned the well to wine. Oh, he didn't just turn these barrels to wine. Oh no, hon, it's bigger than that. When you don't ask no question, you don't consider yourself, God will turn your well into wine. You'll overflow with the Master taking care of the servant. But if you don't take care of yourself, ain't no need of him getting involved. If it's all about me, no need of him getting involved at all. I'm talking about lessons about a master focus mentality. I was also interested in something else to be gained if you don't have a me first mentality, if you've got your Bibles there. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. You say, preacher, what's to be gained tonight if I don't ever consider myself? I don't hold my life dear unto myself. One of the writers of Scripture, Paul, was talking about Epaphroditus. He said he did not hold his life dear unto himself. The little word there is the word for to throw down a gambling bet. At a whim. He said, old Epaphroditus, if he finds out God needs something done, he said he'll just throw it in. Like throwing in a bet without even thinking. He said, I'm in. Huh? Most Baptists, you ask them to do something, well, I got to pray about that. Epaphroditus, I'm in. I'll do it. You listening to me? What's to be gained by some kind of mentality like this? In verses 35 through 41, we have that great story of Jesus in the ship, asleep on a pillow. The Bible tells us, if you've got the text there in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Bible said there was a storm of wind. That little word wind there is our little word for tornado or hurricane wind. Blowing that boat everywhere. Well, what was his response to all that wind? Sleep. Bible said in our text that the waves beat into the ship. The waves were overcoming the ship. What was he doing? Sleeping. I thought this was interesting. Some of you help me with this. Right there at the last part of verse 37, it says, so that it was now full. I did all my military in the Army. I never was in the Navy. I don't know a lot about ships. Anybody here knows anything about boating ships? What happens when a boat gets full of water? Anybody know? It what? Thank you, son. Don't know. You're not even old enough to know anything about boats. You smart in this whole crowd. You said the thing's going to sink. Huh? This boat's going under. What's Jesus doing? You know, you all upset about Wall Street. You all upset about Obama getting in there. You know what he's doing? He's sitting. Been sitting for 2,000 years. Only thing's ever gotten him up was Stephen's homecoming. The only reason he's ever stood up. Bill and Hillary ain't ever get him up. Huh? All their shenanigans, they never stood up. I tell you, the next time he stands, he's coming. Huh? The world got him up in this story. You looking at this story with me tonight? He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. They awake him and saith unto him, Master! Master! That's the right relationship with the Master! Master! Carest thou not that we perish? The Bible said in verse number 39, and he arose! The wind didn't bother him. He slept on. The waves didn't bother him. The ship was sinking. But when they simply said, Master! He was fully awake and wanted to help them. He ain't a caring about America going down. He ain't a worried about America tanking and being flushed tonight. I tell you what he is concerned about. He's concerned about his servants tonight that want to be rightly related with the Master. And he's concerned about their individual needs. And when they're rightly related and say, Master, he'll arrive and give them help. I'm talking about a Master focus mentality. I tell you, I don't want to be me focused. I don't know if that's y'all speaking, if y'all testify for you. But I want to be Master focused. I don't want to try to take care of me. I don't know if you try to take care of you lately or not. You expensive? Just to keep you up with the bare necessities, awful expensive. You're going to run out of dough before this thing's over. You better get you somebody. Hey, I ain't a voting this time for somebody in the government to take care of me. I don't want no government to take care of me. God done beat him to it. He been taking care of me a long time ago. How come you don't vote for the government to take care of you if you got a me first mentality? You got a Master focus mentality. You'll vote the book. Not your pocketbook. You'll vote the book. Don't care if you lose everything you got. Everything you got, he gave it to you anyhow. Why in the world would it be any different for you to go back to being what you had before? Nothing! Talking about lessons of a faithful mention. The law of first mention. You got your Bible there? Ephesians chapter number 6. Not only do I see in our text there's the law of first mention about the Master being rightly related to his servants. We saw the lesson of a faithful mention. But I want us to see the liberty of a fervent mention. The liberty of a fervent mention. I notice here in Ephesians chapter number 6 that we're confronted with liberty's demands. A servant being rightly related to the Master. He has a lot of liberties. But he's willing to give up all his liberties in order to please the Master. Of course, you know we're a liberty-crazed people. That's what got America in most of the trouble now. We've got so many liberties. Liberties of the press. And liberties to say whatever we want to. I tell you, if you're going to have liberty being rightly related with the Master, there's going to be some demands on your liberty. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 5, he said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. One of the demands upon you is to simply obey. He said, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. What does he want out of me? He wants us to be obedient. He said he wants us to hold him in reverential awe with trembling in our soul and singleness of heart. It's all about him and nothing about me. There's the liberty. You're free to do that tonight. If you're going to be rightly related with the Master. Another little thought in liberty's demands, if you've got your Bible there. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number... Just how much obedience does he want out of me? Just how much obedience does he want out of me? Titus chapter 2 and verse number 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, and to please them well in the things that they feel like doing. He don't even say that in the Living Bible, does he? No, it does say in all things, though. If you're going to be rightly related to the Master, you've got to do everything He asks. Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't agree with it, and even if you don't want to do it, He said, do it anyhow. If you're going to be rightly related with the Master. I thought this was an interesting one. This has spoke volumes to me. We're talking about liberty's demands. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. He said, I don't even care if it's a good master. He said, be obedient to you. He said, if I set a froward master, an ugly master, a demanding master over you, He said, be obedient to him too. Oh, gracious. He said, you're going to have to do that if you're going to be rightly related with the Master. Huh? You say, how in the world can I meet all of those demands of obedience, even obedience to a forward Master? You got your Bible there. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. Not only do we see liberty's demands, but we see liberty's death. I tell you, the only way you're going to do this tonight, you're going to have to die to your stinking self. Huh? Hey, the Bible says that we need to reckon ourselves crucified. I hear preachers sometimes talking about you need to crucify yourself. You ought not try that at home. That can get awful ugly. Matter of fact, even if you were to try to crucify yourself, you might get one hand tapped in. You might even get your legs crossed and get them tapped in. But you'll still have your one hand to take care of you and have a me mentality. Oh, no. He's done it for you tonight. He's done crucified our old man upon the cross. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. We're talking about how can I meet liberty's demand. Says in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die. If you've ever been redeemed, you fell into the ground of salvation and died, and it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life. Gracious, that'll mess up Dr. Phil and Oprah's theology of loving yourself. Huh? You ought to think good of yourself. Ain't that what they're teaching in the school system now? High self-esteem, you ought to love yourself. It's a lie to hell. It ain't nowhere in this book. He said, if you're going to be my servant, going to be rightly related to the Master, He said, you're going to have to hate yourself. Gonna have to hate yourself. You imagine old Job being on Dr. Phil's show, him talking to him about self-esteem. He said, Dr. Phil, I tell you, ever since I got in the presence of God, He said, I've abhorred myself. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, it's not a me mentality. It's a hatred of self. He said, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. He said, if you're rightly related to me, He said, I'll take care of everything for you. He said, you'll not have to take care of yourself. He said, you die to yourself. He said, you just obey me with fear and trembling, even be obedient in all things, even to froward masters. And He said, I'll take care of you. I'm talking about the liberty of a fervent mission. Can I mention again, if you've got your Bibles there, Galatians chapter number 4. We're talking about being rightly related with the Master. I don't know about you. I want to be rightly related to the Master. This thing's bigger tonight than just being saved. Huh? I tell you, you could be saved tonight as far away from God tonight as you ever been. Oh no, I'm talking about being rightly related with the Master. Galatians chapter number 4. Not only is there the law first mentioned, there's a lesson of a faithful mentioned. There's the liberty, fervent mentioned. I notice that there is the light of a favored mentioned. He talks in chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3 about immature servants. Many of us, after we get saved, and I'm sorry to say it, most Baptists live their entire life and they never make the move from being an immature servant to being a son of God. God never is able to trust you. He's always got a check on you. He can never give you any slack. He can never give you any rope. He's got to keep a chain on you and keep by and check you all the time. Paul talked about that in chapter 4. He says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, he's just immature, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." He said he can own the whole thing. But he said he's an immature child. He said he's under tutors and governments until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. It's all about this world. It's all about the rudiments of this world. It's all about me. You can never be a mature servant. God can never trust you. God can never give you the special things that He wants to. Unless you was to move from being an immature child, immature servant, to being a son of God. He says in chapter number 4, not only do we see immature servants, we see mature sons. He says in verse 6, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son." Strong relationship with the Holy Ghost now, if you're going to be rightly related with the Master. "Into your hearts crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." How in this world can I move from being an immature child to being a son of God? It's all in yielding. Yielding everything about you. Your thoughts, your feelings, and your doings. Every time a me mentality rises up, you gotta yield it to Him. Every time you wanna consider yourself, you gotta yield it to Him. It's a lifetime proposition. I was reminded of the old story of the Hope Diamond. 186 carats. It was given years and years ago to the Queen of England as a gift from a young Indian prince when he came into power. Years later, after he had grown up and matured, he came there to the Queen and told her that he wanted to see that diamond. Folks there were confident that he had come to get it. He wanted it back. They took it out of the vault. They let him look at it. He told the Queen, he said, "Could I hold it?" She knew then in her heart that he'd probably come to get it. He was going to walk out with it. They said he stood there for a while and looked at it and gazed at it. He turned to her and he said, "Your Majesty," he said, "I was a young kid when I first gave you this diamond." He said, "I was very immature and I had no idea what I was doing." He said, "But I'm grown now." He says, "I'm fully aware of what I'm doing." He said, "I want to give you this diamond one more time." Oh, I'm telling you, in the walk with God, there'll be times when He'll point out unyielded areas in your life. And you're going to have to come. When you see those me mentalities rise up, you wanting to take care of me, you're going to have to come and tell the Lord, say, "Lord, I've been acting like a baby, sucking my thumb, trying to take care of myself. And I want to come and one more time yield this area in my life so that I can not only be a servant, but I can be a son of God." Are you listening to me tonight? I close with this thought. We've looked at each one of these thus far. We've noticed the thing that stands out in all of these is that the superior becomes an inferior. That the inferior may be brought into a right relationship with the superior. We've looked at the law first mentioned. If you've got a Bible there, we're headed to Philippians chapter number 2. We have looked at the lessons of a faithful mention. We have looked at the liberty of a fervent mention. We have looked at the light of a favored mention. I look in Philippians chapter number 2 tonight at the likeness of a full mention. You telling me, preacher, that the Master became a servant? That He might bring His servants unto the Master? I'm here to tell you with all of my heart that the Master became a servant. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 7. He says in verse number 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was the express image of God. He was all God. He was all Master. Verse number 7, but He made Himself of no reputation. Ain't that what you're talking about all the time? I tell you, they hurt my reputation. They talked about my reputation. Jesus said, I set my reputation aside so I could become a servant. You'll never be a servant until you set all your feelings. You'll never hear a servant talking about, I tell you, they hurt my feelings. Oh no. Servants will get hung up somewhere if they get their feelings hurt because they ain't supposed to have no feelings. How come? They servants. It's not about me. He said, but He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of God. God the Father became God the Son. God the Son became the Son of Man. And the Son of Man became a servant that He might redeem His servants unto Himself. I'm talking about the likeness of a full mention. You say, how in this world did He do that? You got your Bible there. I'm closing out in Philemon. Philemon. Verse number 10 is only one chapter. It's the story of the runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. The Bible says in verse number 10, he sent Onesimus back to his master. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond. Onesimus' name means unprofitable servant. And he said now he is a profitable servant. How come? He wants to be rightly related to the Master. How in this world can that be? He says in verse number 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially unto me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you're rightly related as a servant, God will not only see you as a son, but He'll see you as a brother. That Jesus, He's my elder. Don't you fool with me tonight. My big brother will get you tonight. Huh? My elder brother. I'm His servant, and He calls me His son. How can all that be done? He says in verse number 18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Oh, I tell you the reason why I'm a servant tonight, because it's been put on the Master's account. The reason why I'm going to yield myself every time I see a me mentality come up. I want to yield it because I want to be a son of God, because the Master's account, because I want Him to see me as a brother beloved. I want to be rightly related with the Master. Story was told years ago of a man who owned a large plantation. He had but one son. He had but one servant. He dearly loved that son. The boy died in the prime of his life. Said the master never got over it. He always took well of his servant. He met all of his servant's needs. That's as far as it went. He took well care of the servant. Said the master died. He had left in his will that all of his stuff be auctioned off on one particular day. He was a multi-millionaire. He began to auction his stuff off and it brought high dollar. It was money flowing into the coffers that day as they sold his stuff. He had a large painting, the vestibule, it was there as you come in the front door, it was a life-size portrait of the son. They brought it up for auction. Nobody bid it on it. They didn't know that boy. They had no relationship with him. Servant stood up. He said, I have very little money. He said, I do not have a job anymore. And he said, I've just got meager fares. He said, the master took good care of me. He said, but I got a few dollars. He said, I'd love to have that portrait. He said, I love that boy so much. They said, I'll throw you a few dollars in. You can take the painting. Continued the auction. It brought in millions of dollars. The auction was over. Everything was sold. Somebody cried out, said, who is getting all of that money that has been collected today? Dear auctioneer said, there's but one postscript in the will. He said that whoever got the son's painting, he was to get it all. Oh, the servant gave his little all to get the master's all tonight. Are you going to miserly hold on to your little all, take care of me, and miss the master's all tonight? You'd be a fool. Not be rightly related with the master tonight. He's looking for servants tonight. Rightly related to the master. Would you stand all over the building?